Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Philippians chapter 4. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and sisters who are with me send greetings. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray together. Father, we've sung that we will stand on every promise of your word. And as we come to look at your word, so we pray that indeed you will guide us. You will help us. You will help us to know that there is grace sufficient for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do keep that reading open if you can. Are you content with your lot in life? One four-year-old boy was one day overheard praying by his mother. He was praying this: Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, please don't worry about it. I'm having a really good time as I am. He certainly learned to be content in all circumstances. Last week we looked at being at peace with God, with others and with ourselves. We saw Paul tell us that if we are to be at peace, we need to be united with God's gospel people, rejoice at all times, pray, giving our anxieties up to God, living as God wants us to. And we saw that Paul believed that this was achievable, if not always easy. And being honest, most of us find the idea of being content pretty difficult as well. And when we read Paul say, content in all circumstances, we begin to think, hold on a minute, I'm happy to be content in some, but in all, what does that look like? But what better words could Paul end this amazing book of Philippians with than peace, joy, and contentment, which have dominated this last chapter? But what does it mean to be content? 200 years ago, a German Christian writer said we could be content if we had health enough to make work a pleasure, wealth enough to support our needs, strength enough to battle with difficulties and overcome them, grace enough to confess our sins and forsake them, patience enough to toil until some good is accomplished, charity enough to see good in our neighbor, love enough to move us to be useful to others, faith enough to make real the things of God, hope enough to remove all anxious fears concerning the future. Well, you might think that's very good advice, but that's all it is, isn't it? It's very good advice. If we want to know what God says, we need to look back at his word. We need to see what Paul says through these verses. And the great news is that we're not left to guess. In Paul's terms, he's going to show us the secret of true contentment. So if you want to be more content this morning, or if you want to continue to be content, then hear what God has to say to us. Amazingly, I've only got 2 points today. And when you worry that the first one takes 80% of the time, I know it does, okay? So, firstly, we have to learn to be content. Verse 11. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances. The first thing we need to see is that Paul had to learn to be content. Paul does not say that it comes naturally to him, that as soon as he became a Christian, that wave of contentment came over him, that nothing could take away. Everything from that moment on was just contentment. He doesn't say that. He says he had to learn it. It isn't that contentment becomes ours by right the moment we become a Christian. It's not one of those things that just happens, like the Spirit coming to live in us the moment we come to faith in Jesus. No, he had to learn. And what he learned was an ability to accept his circumstances. And we know from what he says that his circumstances included, verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. That was physical and monetary need. He knew that. Verse 12, but he also knew what it meant to be well fed. So he had good times. He knew what it meant to be hungry when he didn't know how to put food on the table. He knew, he says in verse 12, that I lived in plenty with many, much good financial resources and the like, but also in want when that was far from true. It's clear in his description of his life that he's experienced ups and downs. But what does he mean by being content in these circumstances? Contentment means this: the ability to accept each situation I find myself in and learn in that situation to experience God's grace and goodness in whatever form it comes. Let me repeat that. Contentment means the ability to accept each situation I find myself in and learn in that situation to experience God's grace and goodness in whatever forms it comes. Now, that's actually far easier to say than to do and to live, because it has to be learned, sometimes painfully, in the ups and downs of life. Learning to be content when God gives us much. And Paul's speaking about in a monetary sense here, but also learning to be content when God gives us little. It's interesting that he says in both cases, we need to learn to be content. We sort of think, well, when we've got enough financially, surely we'll be content then. No, says Paul, you have to learn to be content when you have much and when you have little. Now, I know there are many here who've experienced one or both of those states when you've not known where the next pound is coming from, or where you've been embarrassed by how easy life is financially. What does it mean to be content in both those places? It means learning to look beyond our circumstances, being content that God knows our needs, and it is his grace and goodness that we need to experience in every circumstance. We live in a world that loves to use financial status as a way of comparing how we're doing. If we begin to compare ourselves with how others are doing, that's how we lose contentment straight away, by the way. Why do we do that? Well, if we feel we have less, we can become jealous of others and lose true contentment. But if we have much, we can feel guilty with what we have, or become dependent on what we have for our contentment. In all those cases, we lose true contentment. We see it in the world where people often imagine if only they had the next gadget or car or TV or salary increase and so on, then they'll be content with what they have. I was talking to someone fairly recently who had been promoted to the job that they'd always wanted to have. And I asked them, "Are you content?" And they went, "Anthony, I hate to admit it, but no, I'm not. I thought this would be the key to contentment. And it wasn't." Paul knows that if we're truly to be content in all circumstances. And that's the challenge, isn't it, of verse 11 and verse 12. "I have learnt to be content whatever the circumstances." Verse 12, "I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation." That's the real challenge. If only he'd said some and few, I'd be all right with it. "I've learned to be content in some and few situations," yeah, but every and all? How is that possible? And what is this secret he talks about? Well, the secret is there in verse 13. "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." Now, we need to understand what all this is. All this is to be content in all circumstances. That's what the "all this" is. It doesn't mean I can do everything. It means I can be content in all circumstances. It's a very powerful promise. And notice what Paul says. "I can do all this through him who gives me strength." We will never learn to be content in all circumstances in our own strength. We just can't do it. You and I can go as much as we like. "Oh, I wish I was content in every circumstance. Why aren't I content in every circumstance? If only I could do this, I'd get content in every circumstance." And the scriptures tell us the secret is to recognize we can't, that we need God to strengthen us. "I can do all this. I can learn to be content in all circumstances through him, God, who gives me strength." Now, learning it that is not easy. The words Paul uses conveys that this, the idea that he didn't learn this lesson in a day, but through a lifetime of ups and downs. That's a bit of a shame, really, isn't it? We'd quite like to learn this lesson in one day. If I could learn to be content in all circumstances by tomorrow, that'd be great. Thank you very much. But that's not the picture. Paul's picture here is that this is something we struggle to learn and we have to relearn. If you learn to drive, I don't know if you can remember back to when you were learning to drive. Some people seem to pick it up fairly easily, but most find it takes a bit of effort to learn to drive and things can get in the way. As a 17-year-old, I was really excited to have my first driving lessons, and it was all going relatively well. I hadn't hit anything yet. I wasn't brilliant. My dad did say 60 down a dual carriageway was a bit fast. But actually, I was really enjoying it, really having fun. And then I made the unwise decision to play football in a church hall and broke my leg, which had to be pin and plated, and I had to have full cast on it. Do you know, it's pretty difficult to drive when you've got a full leg cast on. Surprisingly, my driving instructor didn't want me to book any lessons. Something had got in the way. Sometimes things get in the way of us learning lessons. It isn't easy to be content in all circumstances. And things get in the way of us learning that. Sometimes because our circumstances change and we have to relearn the lesson. About 3 or 4 years ago, my mother-in-law came and lived with us. And we had to learn a new way of living. And we had to learn to be content with that. And I'd love you to tell you that when we'd learned it 4 years ago, that was it. It was it. Now we were fine with it. But actually, as her circumstance changed, we have to learn to be content again. The problem with being content in all circumstances is that circumstances change and we have to learn it again. Now the question this morning is, do you believe that we can be content whatever our situation is? Perhaps work is a real struggle, or perhaps it's fantastic. Are you able to be content whatever the circumstances? Perhaps if you're married, your marriage is difficult, or perhaps it's amazing. Can you learn to be content in both those circumstances? Perhaps your health is messy and seems to be a struggle, or perhaps it's, in your eyes, perfect because you can do whatever you want. Will you be truly content in both those circumstances? Perhaps money is really tight, or worse, or perhaps it's plentiful. Have you learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation? Perhaps your friendships are stretched and difficult, or perhaps they're brilliant. Have you learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation? Perhaps you find church life a struggle, or perhaps you find it a joy. Have you learnt the secret of being content in every circumstance? Perhaps we're here saying, okay, I get it. God wants me to be content. I know he wants to strengthen me so I can be content. But what does that really look like? Well, Paul throughout the book of Philippians has been encouraging us to know what that means. And he says that we will be content in chapter 1 if we remember and think that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. In chapter 3, he says, if we remember that all our natural advantages are rubbish compared to the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ. But he returns to it in chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God, he says, will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Whatever my circumstances, I can be content because I know God will meet all my needs. How will he meet them? According to the riches of his glory. The picture is an exuberant one. Paul's trying to say, remember, he'll meet them amazingly. According to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Today, if I'm a Christian here, if I have a living relationship with the Lord Jesus, if I've remembered, as chapter 3 told us, that when he died, he took the punishment for our sins, but he gave us his righteousness as well. If I've experienced those things, Paul is confident and promises that God will meet all our needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So whatever circumstances I'm in, my need for forgiveness met in the Lord Jesus. My need for strength met in the Lord Jesus. My need for security met in the Lord Jesus. My need for knowing what's going to happen to me when I die met in the Lord Jesus. My need for knowing I'm never alone met in the Lord Jesus. The need for knowing I'm loved, accepted. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, our Creator and Redeemer, all met in the riches that is in Jesus Christ. And my need for knowing that all that is true is met in Christ Jesus too. No wonder Paul says in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. You see, if we truly take on board all we have, the riches of the glory in Christ Jesus that is offered to us, then we can be content. That's the secret. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at all you have in Jesus. And if today you're here this morning, and there will be a number who think, I'm not sure I'm in that sort of relationship with God yet, just know that this is what he wants for you today. And come and talk to us, and we'll encourage you to know how you can enter that sort of a relationship. Have you learnt the secret of contentment? Perhaps you think, I did in the past, but I've sort of lost it now. God wants you to come back to that place where you feel content in all circumstances. Look at the Lord Jesus. Remember his promise to give us strength to meet our needs. Look at him rather than our circumstances. And Paul says we can learn to be content, whatever our circumstances. Secondly, Paul encourages us to be partners in gospel work, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. Verse 14, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except for you. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. Paul knows that learning to accept the help of others is a cause of rejoicing. He's learnt that it's all right to be partners in gospel ministry. And so Paul has accepted their financial support and gifts. He's not being critical in verse 10 where he says you've at last renewed your strength. He's just saying you were always concerned, but for a while you couldn't express that concern practically. But now you can. We don't know why that was. They may have been too far distant, may not have known what Paul needed. All we know is that they had a deep concern to be partners in gospel work. And Paul rejoices in that because he rejoices that actually supporting and encouraging each other all through the letter has been part of what he's about. And now he's saying, look, I delight that you did that financially too. And we don't always find it easy to accept help, especially financial help, actually. There's a bit of a spoiler if you haven't watched the last Call the Midwife coming up, okay? So if you haven't watched it and you want to watch it, cover your ears. In the last Call the Midwife, there was a blind mum and everybody was offering her help and she was just going, no, I can't have it. I mustn't have it. I've got to do it on my own. And actually, she came to the point of realizing she couldn't. But that journey was difficult for her. Often our journey to being able to accept support is a difficult one. But Paul is delighted with the support that he's been given. Verse 14, it was good that they shared his troubles. Verse 15 and 16, it was great, their help was consistent. And then there's this strange thing in verse 17. Now that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. And what Paul means by that is that it was to their eternal credit that they supported Paul. This was not that they bought their salvation, but having come to know Jesus, their bank accounts and wallets and purses were used for eternal purposes. And Paul says that's to their credit, and with that God is pleased. Verse 18, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Paul takes delight in their help because he knows not only did it help him and his ministry, but it pleased God. Now, if you're here as a visitor today, it's your first time, please hear, I'm about to talk about giving. We don't do this every week. I'm only doing it because it's in the passage, okay? God, the reason we don't take collections during our services is because we want actually to say that we're not after your money. Having said that, if you're here as a church member, God expects that we support gospel ministry by giving to the church and to other Bible-believing organizations. It's not an optional extra. He expects our wallet, our bank account, our purse to reflect our desire to see the kingdom grow. That's why, as a church family, the PCC give money to three organizations, to Church Army Africa as it seeks to grow God's kingdom, to London City Mission as it reaches unreached people groups in London, to Christian Vision for Men as it seeks to reach men with the good news of Jesus. It's why out of our general account we support the work of Bay Ignite and the South Room as they become established as kingdom building ministries. We expect to be generous in the support of the work that grows God's kingdom. Paul wants us to learn to be content. He wants us to learn to be supporters of Bible-based gospel ministry. So we reach the end of our journey. If you've only been here for week one, this one, all the rest are on the website, so you can listen into what has been a joyous, encouraging, challenging book. But it's reminded us above all to be partners in the good news of Jesus, united in our desire to see God's kingdom grow. So will you today be committed to rejoicing in the Lord, that theme that has gone through the whole book? Will you trust in God's good plans? Will you be united with God's people so that together we shine like stars with the good news of Jesus? Will you be at peace with one another, content in all circumstances? If we do those things, we will both be the people that God wants us to be, but also the church family that God wants us to be. And there is nothing better than that. Let's pray together. How content are you today? Where do you look for contentment? Will you look to the Lord Jesus, the riches that are found in him? Freedom, forgiveness, acceptance, peace, joy. Father God, we long to be content in all circumstances. We recognize that's a lesson we need to learn and relearn. But Father, we pray that you would strengthen us to be content in all circumstances, as individuals and as a church family. Help us to know the riches we have in Christ Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. At the end of the service, our prayer ministry team will be over here. If you want to come and just ask them to pray that you would learn that lesson of contentment, then please do feel free to do that. We're going to sing a song that's newish, and it just reminds us that there is nothing else that can satisfy in this world other than Jesus. Christ, my all in all, the joy of my salvation. Please stand as we sing.